Or switch on and swipe to Hebrews chapter 11. Daniel's been taking us through Hebrews 11. This is our third week now in Hebrews 11, and we're going to read from chapter 11, verse 1 down to verse 26, and then Daniel's going to come and open this up to us a little bit later on. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave them directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. This is God's word, and we're thankful for it.
Well, good evening, everyone. And please turn back with me to that passage that Steve read for us a few moments ago. We're returning to our series on Hebrews 11. The eye is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Before we had Twitter and Facebook and we had the dress and our different perceptions of what color the dress was, we've always been trying to work out how we see and how people see in different ways. And back in the 1990s, one of the popular crazes was a thing called the magic eye. Does anyone remember the magic eye? Yeah? You got a booklet, something like this, a journal or an annual, you know, like a Beano annual, called the magic eye. And its title was A New Way of Looking at the World. And basically it was an annual full of all these pixelated pictures that looked like they had no pattern, all these pixelated dots, no pattern or no shape to them. But if you kept looking at them and did all sorts of gymnastics with your eyes, a 3D image would be seen from the dots. Now, this is what I found on the internet, and to be honest, I sat for a long time until I gave myself a headache this week trying to see what this picture is, and I couldn't see it. And maybe my eyesight. Can anyone see what it is? Oh, Dom can. A shark, yes. Can you see a shark there? I'm told it is a picture of a shark. Anyone else see a shark? No? Well, if you want to get the link off me afterwards, you can look at it yourself. The magic eye. Seems like there's no pattern, no shapes. You have to look at it the right way. And when you look at it the right way, you see it. You see it. The author of Hebrews defines faith the same way. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is having that magic eye moment, that spiritual awakening, that spiritual sight to see what is really going on, to see the unseen, to have evidence for what we cannot see. And I've entitled our sermon tonight, Believing is Seeing. We often use that common phrase, don't we? Seeing is believing. We have to see it to believe it. Well, Hebrews turns that on its head. And we learn that believing, having faith, understanding through faith, is truly seeing. It's a spiritual perception on the world that those who do not believe, those who do not have faith cannot see. And 2 weeks ago, we had our first sermon. We introduced ourselves to this hall of fame of faith, and we set the scene, and we saw that throughout the book of Hebrews, time and time again, the author of Hebrews is showing us Jesus is better. There's nowhere else to go. There's no one else to turn to. Jesus is better. We thought about the fact that having faith is not finding approval with God in the great acts that we do, but it's a drawing near to God that ran throughout the whole letter of Hebrews. By faith, we draw near to God. We find ourselves pleasing and approved and righteous before God in Christ. We saw that the whole message of this letter is written to Christians who are called to persevere, to keep going when times are hard. They persevered by drawing near, by grasping all that they had in Jesus. Well, last week we began to look at this first part of Hebrews 11, verse 1. And we got to grips with grammar a little bit. And we saw how the different translations take Hebrews 11, verse 1. And we saw that some of them take it subjectively, a confidence, an assurance. Some of them translate it objectively, as evidence. And we saw that. You'll see it up on the screen, how they take it differently, hopefully in a wee second. So the ESV and the NIV have it subjectively. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The NIV is very similar. Confidence, assurance, subjective. But then we saw how the other translations put it objectively. The New King James says it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. New Living Translation, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. And I argue that the New King James and New Living Translation get it right here. Faith is more than a feeling. It's more than an assurance or a confidence. Faith is an assurance and a confidence in an objective reality that we have experienced as Christians. And we thought through the first part of that verse, what it was to have the substance of things hoped for. That we have a foretaste of glory. We have a spiritual experience now that lets us live not for this world, but for the world to come. And we thought about the fact that faith helps us to have what we hope for. We have now what we hope to have by faith. Well, tonight we're going to look at the second half of that definition in Hebrews 11, verse 1. We're going to think through again what it is to have faith. To have the evidence of things not seen. So we're going to spend a little bit of time on that, and then we're going to again trace this theme across the lives of those mentioned in Hebrews 11. I just want to pick up on three things briefly tonight, thinking through what it means to see what is unseen by faith. Firstly, we see that the gospel gives us eyes. The gospel gives us eyes. Secondly, we see the clues of creation. The clues of creation. And thirdly, we learn from those who saw the unseen. So firstly, we see the gospel gives us eyes. About 10 years ago, a movie came out. It had Will Smith as the lead character in it, and it was called I, Robot. I don't know if you saw it. But in I, Robot, Will Smith plays a detective. And he plays a detective in a world where there's a robot for every three people. Everyone else seems to love the robots. They're built around these three laws. They can't harm anyone. They're there for humanity's good, and they serve humanity. And as time goes on in the film, we see these robots getting more and more authority, more and more trust in the world, more and more control. But Will Smith, this detective, sees something that no one else does. And he begins to investigate. He sees evidence. He has proof that the robots are planning to take over. But no one believes him. And as the movie goes on, everyone else scoffs at him. They think he's becoming increasingly unhinged and mad. But he keeps going. Why? Because he has evidence of the unseen. He's proof. He's evidence. He's convinced. He's seen it. And even if anyone else can't see it, he has. That's what the writer to the Hebrews describes here. The second part of the definition. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's objective. It's not just a hope-so. It's not just an assurance not based on anything. The people who have faith see something. They observe the evidence. They've been convinced by the proof. They know the unseen is there. They can't prove it to anyone else. It's been proved to themselves. Now, the Greek word that's used here for evidence is not used anywhere else in the New Testament. But it was used at the time to mean a proof or an evidence, a trial. The people who have faith have seen the unseen. They've been convinced by the evidence. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, how do they come to see and be convinced by what no one else can see? And the truth is that we're blind to this sight. We're blind to this evidence until we believe the gospel. Across the Bible, there's this imagery of blindness and sight. In our sin, we're blind, we're in the darkness, but in Christ, we can see, we are in the light. The gospel gives us eyes to see. We have that magic eye moment when we're looking at the pixelated dots, and all of a sudden, we see the image. That's conversion. When we believe in Christ, we see past the physical reality of this life and this world to a spiritual one, and we perceive and understand it. We see God. We understand the gospel. We experience forgiveness. We comprehend eternity. We're born again. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. The gospel gives us eyes to see. Believing is seeing. That's faith. It's experiencing the spiritual evidence of the gospel. And we see because God opens our eyes. If you have your Bible in front of you, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Paul unpacks this here and shows us how we see through the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 6. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Faith is having eyes to see what is really there. It's not blind faith. It's the only thing that enables us to really see. It's not something we decide to have or to do and then we're saved. The gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. They can't see the evidence of the unseen. They're blinded by the devil. We can't see the light of the gospel. But then God speaks, and he shines his light into your hearts, and we see. We catch a glimpse of the glory of God. We comprehend who Jesus is and what he's done. We repent of our sin, and we believe in him. We draw near to God in Christ through faith. We experience what we thought of last week, the substance of what we hope for, a spiritual experience, a spiritual reality now. The Holy Spirit comes as our guarantee and lives within us. We have a foretaste of what is to come. We live life looking to the author and finisher of our faith. And our blindness falls away. The gospel gives us eyes to see. Our faith is not just a hope-so. It's not just a crutch. It's not just a blind assurance or a blind faith. It's objective. We've seen it. We have the evidence for what we do not physically see. And as the world looks on and looks at us, all they see is the pixelated dots. It seems to have no pattern or no shape. And here we are saying that we see it, and they scratch their head at us. And they say, "You read this book every day, and you pray, and you say that you know God? You give away a significant part of your earnings to a church? You go on a Sunday, and you sit with a bunch of other weirdos, and you sing these obscure songs, and you listen to someone talk nonsense for half an hour? You give up your weeknight, or your summer, or your life to go to some poor country with people of another religion, and live your life being rejected by them? To tell them about Jesus? You actually believe you're going to live forever with God? You're a weirdo. You're deluded. You've just this blind faith." And we say to them, "No. We've seen it. We've had that magic eye moment. We have evidence for what we do not see. God has opened our eyes, and now we live life looking through this life, past this life, past what's physically before us to another reality, a spiritual reality, an eternal reality. And we see God, and we make our decisions, and we spend our time, and we base our character on that reality. We have evidence for what is not seen. Believing is seeing. The gospel gives us eyes to see." Secondly, we see the clues of creation. The clues of creation. Like most parents of young children, I am often afflicted by having to watch CBeebies. Channel 202, you learn it by heart very quickly. And there's a program on CBeebies called How Is It Made? And in How Is It Made, basically the premise of the program is they take an everyday object or an everyday thing that we wouldn't often think about, and the presenter takes the children on a journey about how it is made. The whole process. And sometimes you're watching it and it comes to the end, you're like, "Whoa, I have an added appreciation for yogurt. or a zip. Never thought about how it was made. Here in Hebrews 11, the author reminds us how the universe was made. We know how God created the universe. How? We know it by faith. Look at verse 3, Hebrews 11. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. It's interesting that the first example of faith mentioned in this list is not the faith of an Old Testament saint. It's the faith of the reader. It's the faith of the people the author's writing to. It's those first century Christians. It's us. Then there's the long list of people of faith in Hebrews 11, and it's bookended at the other end. Chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Again, the focus is on the reader. The focus is on us. You have these bookends on both sides of this long list of Old Testament saints and their faith. And it's talking about our faith. We have the same faith as Abraham or Moses or Rahab. And verse 3 here is really the explanation of what we've looked at in the second half of verse 1. It's the application of having the evidence of what is unseen in our lives, in our faith. By faith, we know that God created the world. The writer's showing us it's by faith that we know that. It's by faith that we believe that Genesis is true, that we believe that the unseen spiritual reality created all the physical reality that we see with our eyes. God speaks, and he creates through his word. And it's, again, not just because we say we believe it. It's not because we read Genesis once, and we've decided that this is true, and blindly believe it. It's objective for us. It's by faith. It's by having experienced and having been convinced of the evidence of the unseen. We understand that the universe was created by the word of God. We put thought into this. It makes sense to us. It completely fits with the evidence that we've been given. And we've been convinced by. God has caused us to see. People of faith look around at this world and this universe, and they see God at every turn. We see God in the sunrise. We see God in the stars. We see God in a little child's face. We see God in the waves and the wind. By faith, we understand. And this is unpacked further in Romans 1. If you want to flick over there quickly, over to Romans 1, the same word used for understand here in 11:3 is used by Paul in Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, first of all. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Very similar to what we're thinking of here, isn't it? Same quote here, the righteous shall live by faith from Habakkuk that's used at the end of chapter 10 of Hebrews. We thought of that before. There's the same emphasis here on faith bringing us approval and acceptance with God. As God reveals his righteousness, he does it from faith for faith. But then we read on to verses 18 to 20, Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them. Because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Paul's telling us the same thing there in Romans 1, isn't he? God is to be seen in his creation. We understand his power in creation. We see something of his beauty in the beauty of what he's made. We can even discern his attributes, his divine nature through the created world around us. But again, we do it by faith. When the righteousness of God is revealed to us, without faith, we cannot see. You see, to those who don't believe, it's not the righteousness of God that's being revealed, it's the wrath of God that's being revealed. And though it's plain that this world is the evidence of the things unseen, that it's a signpost to God, they don't see it. Humanity's sin has blinded them to it. They suppress the truth. They can't see. They worship the creation. It's the same as what the author of Hebrews is saying in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. We see it. We see it by faith. There's a beautiful hymn my dad introduced me to a number of years ago, Loved with Everlasting Love. One of the verses says this: Heaven above is deeper blue, earth around is sweeter green, that which glows in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds in song his glory show, flowers with richer beauty shine. Since I knew, as now I know, I am his, he is mine. Our world without Christ cannot see it. We couldn't see it until God's righteousness was revealed by faith. And that suppression of the truth, that blindness of our sin was pulled away. And we saw it. And I think this has such an application for our evangelism. We live in a time where the biblical belief of creation is under attack more than any other time. Where the average person in the street no longer believes in a creator God, or certainly doesn't believe in how the Bible describes it. And the danger is that we spend all our time trying to come up with clever arguments, doing whatever we can to desperately make the Bible relevant to our scientific society. Now, don't get me wrong. Understanding the current trends of science is important. Apologetics is important. But we need to remember what Hebrews is telling us here. Belief in creation, at the end of the day, comes by faith. It's a spiritual seeing that otherwise is blinded by sin. And we can argue with someone till we're blue in the face. But if God is not working in their lives, if their eyes are not being opened in faith, they will never understand. Though they will be without excuse. And sometimes I find there's a time to stop trying to convince someone of creation by our own arguments. And just simply share the gospel or our testimony with them. That's how they'll see at the end of the day. Believing is seeing. And we see the clues of creation. Thirdly, we learn from those who saw the unseen. As we've seen every week, Hebrews 11 is a hall of fame, of faith. It takes us through these people who in verse 2 were commended by God because of their faith. And example after example, there are those who lived their lives for God. Why? Because they saw the unseen. They had evidence for what they could not see. They had faith. Look at Noah. If anyone lived this out, it was Noah. He lived at a time where there may not have been rain, some people suggest, at that time. There certainly had never been a worldwide flood. And yet here he is, day after day, while the sun probably shone, building a huge boat for years and years and years, warning the people as he builds this huge, colossal structure. He must have looked like an absolute madman to everyone else enjoying their sin around him. Yet what do we read in verse 7? By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, In reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah had the evidence of what he could not see. He'd experienced God. God had told him the flood was coming. And in the fear of the Lord, he builds this ark day after day. He sees the unseen. He looks like a fool to the world. And yet that ark was a daily sermon. By it, the world are condemned and lost in the floods. But Noah and his household are saved. As I prepared that this week, I can take heart from Noah. We live our lives believing that the judgment day is coming, knowing that our only hope is the gospel, our trust in Christ to save us. And as we let the gospel shape our priorities and our hopes and our dreams and our character, the world around us enjoys sin and laughs at us. Us holy Jews, us deluded, bigoted, old-fashioned people. Yet we remember 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Just like Noah, we have the evidence of what we do not see. We know there is a judgment to come. And we build our lives on the ark, Jesus Christ, while the world mocks and laughs. And we live our lives to reach them, to bring them in. Because someday judgment is coming. It's foolishness to everyone else. But we know God. We trust his word. We see the unseen. What about Abraham? He experiences God. God calls him to leave everything, though he can't see where he's going. And he obeys. He has the evidence of what he cannot see. And he lives in that land in a tent. He never puts down roots. And he dies there. Imagine the contemporaries of Abraham living in Ur of the Chaldees, watching on. They would have scratched their head. What is that old fool doing? Verse 10. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham had faith. He had evidence for what he couldn't see. And he looked beyond the desert in front of him. And he looked beyond his life. And he lived his life looking to what God was building. And he saw. It's the life of a Christian, isn't it? We're to see beyond ourselves. We're to see past this life. And as we sacrifice and as we suffer and to a world watching on, it seems like we ruin our lives. They see people treat us badly and leave us in the dirt. And yet we don't get up and get revenge. We show them grace. They see people giving up promising careers, the epitome of success in our society, to go into Christian work or to go as a missionary across the world. They see people who don't seem to put their value in money or popularity or material comfort or success. People who enjoy will give up their personal comfort, their personal success for a God that they cannot see, but who they know is real. People of faith, like Abraham. What about Moses? Grows up in Egypt. In the royal household, set up for life, yet he refuses it. He takes up his lot with the slaves of the land, the lowest of the low, verse 25, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. What reward was there for Moses? 80 years in the wilderness, 40 in Midian as a shepherd, 40 in the wilderness with the Israelites, constant strain and stress. And where does he die? On a mountain, never stepping foot in the promised land. To the world watching on, it looked like a failure. What a waste of a prince. And yet to the people of faith, those who have evidence of what they do not see, we see a hero. We see one who, as it says in verse 27, endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses saw God. He experienced God. He knew Yahweh. He had the evidence of what he could not see, and he's commended. Those who live by faith, those who live their lives having the evidence of what they cannot see. We read in verse 16 what God thinks of them. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. They enter their reward. And as we come to a close this evening, do you see the unseen? Have you had that magic eye moment of conversion? Do you have faith? And if you don't, get alone with God. Read his word. Wrestle with him in prayer that he would reveal himself to you, that you would get the evidence of what you do not see. To those of us tonight who know him, are we living this out every day, or do we let the world dull our sight? How this world needs more Noahs and more Abrahams and more Moseses. People this world will scratch their heads at and say, what a waste. People who will give up their personal comfort and security for the cause of the gospel. People who will face the mockery and hostility of this world to live for Christ. People who will be seen by the world to go too early or to be too poor or to be too obscure, never reaching their potential. People who will become a failure in the world, for God to not be ashamed to be called their God. People who will see the unseen. People of faith. As we come to a close this evening, I remember reading the advert for a mission internship. It's always stuck with me. And it sums it up completely. We are looking for men and women to work hard in small churches in difficult situations. There will be small reward, constant confusion and frustration. You will be misunderstood, misrepresented, and maligned. You will be equipped for a life of unknown, unsung, heart-wrenching, and often unfruitful ministry, and an undying joy and wonder in the presence of Jesus Christ. You will be a nobody who has nothing to offer, but you will follow Jesus, and you will know that you need nothing else. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's pray together. Father, give us faith tonight to see past our problems, past our dreams, past this world in front of us. And Father, we pray that in faith we would see Jesus, that we would look to the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, that we would gladly give up our lives to follow him, to know someday that we will stand in his presence, and to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, give us faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.